Yes, welcome to another training episode of the Squash Mabel. Hope you are doing good. Today I have an interesting, he is amazing. And he has decided to grace me with his presence today. I have Dr. Daniel in the house. He has been writing, or he has been involved in teaching before I was born, like long before I was born. So it is really an honor to have him as a guest on the show. Dr. Daniel, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Mabel. And now you made me feel old. I guess at this point, you chop off my head, you count the rings at this point.
I'm so sorry. When I went through your bio, I was like, wow, 25 years. I'm like, nah, that is a lot. That is really a lot. And you have 16 books.
I do. My latest book is called Leadership Begins with Motivation. Actually, as a gift to all of your audience, I wanted to give everybody a complimentary copy of my book, Read, Lead, and Succeed. If you just send everybody to freereadingtraining.com, they'll get a copy of the book, which is a book, I wrote it for a school principal who didn't know how to engage his faculty. So I said, okay, I'll write you a book. And so once a week, I give you a new concept. I give you an inspirational quote, an inspirational story, a book recommendation on a book you should read, but you're probably too lazy because you're an adult. So I also give you a children's picture book recommendation that demonstrates the same concept. And then I'll also throw in a couple of digital trainings that I do with parents to show them ways to get their kids excited about reading. Because Mabel, I find that schools do a decent job of teaching kids how to read. But the question I always have for schools is, what good is it teaching kids how to read if they never want to read? I teach kids why to read, because I've never had to tell a kid, go watch TV. I've never had to tell a kid, go play a video game. And I never want to have to tell a kid, go read a book. I want them to choose to do it on their own because they love it.
Love reading. I think I've mentioned on the show before, I don't think I love reading. I do not know how many percentage of people love reading, maybe like normal novel, bestseller, romance, sci-fi, but reading just to gain knowledge, I don't think I'm part of those people. I don't know. Okay, yes, I will blame it on my teachers. Yes, they're the cause.
Give me 2 months, Mabel, and I'll get you passionate about reading.
I so want that. What drove you to writing your first book? Why did you write your first book?
Well, I was really blessed, Mabel. I grew up, I actually hated reading. My father's a librarian, and I always hated the public library. They always had uncomfortable furniture. They always smelled funny. There was always an elderly woman telling me to be quiet. There's always some freaky guy who thinks he's a vampire hanging out by the bookshelves. I always hated the library. And then it wasn't until I started teaching. I always taught in the inner city in South Central Los Angeles. And I saw a lot of my students didn't have a lot of the things I had growing up. And it really made me angry, because I realized, wow, I was really blessed. I had both of my parents in my home. We had plenty of things to read at my home. I had parents that read to me and would make sure that I had access to anything. And so basically I started saying to myself, shame on me. I had a lot of advantages. And so my heart really is for kids that don't have all those opportunities, because I see a world where the world is rapidly changing. And you and I were discussing this earlier. This is why I'm really excited about places. My work now is focused on the African continent, India, Pakistan, and Indonesia, because I really believe the developing world is going to be the new future of the 21st and 22nd century. And, you know, I think the reason a lot of, you know, you're from Nigeria, and so I was recently doing an interview with Nigerian television, and one of the flaws I see in Nigeria is that it was a British colony, and so the schooling system is based on a British system, and so kids are forced to read William Shakespeare and Charles Dickens. And I'm not saying that that's not good. I think they're great. But I think if you really want to get Nigerian kids passionate about reading, you need to expose them to Nigerian authors like Chinua Achebe. I always thought deserved to win the Nobel Prize in Literature. He's just an incredible author. I mean, there's all kinds of great Nigerian authors. And I think that's how you get people excited, is when you show them authors that relate to their own experiences.
That's really, it's true in the sense of the British colonization, and we have to read those books. I think what's part of what interests me is history. I like history because my dad talks about it a lot. He starts referring to the days of war, and I'm like, okay, I want to read that book. I want to know how it happened. Once upon a time, I was into animation, so I give stories based on our culture, what I could find, what I could gather. We actually don't have a lot of books about our culture. It's mostly what our parents say, okay, this is what happened then, this is okay. Give me that book that has to do with our history, our culture, so I can give that. A lot of us, especially my age, we don't know that part, and there's actually nothing to show us that part. So yes, we can blame them. I can blame the British colonization. Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to challenge you, Mabel. So you've gotten that out of the way. You've blamed somebody. That's great. I was like, okay, you blamed it, but that's the problem. Let's focus on the solution. The solution is, so Toni Morrison, wonderful author, I believe it was Toni who said that if there's a book out there that you haven't read, then it's your responsibility to write it. And I would challenge you, Mabel. I think that there's a little girl in Nigeria right now who would benefit so much from reading a book about a successful Nigerian woman like yourself. And that's what excites me about being able to write and really inspire people. I was speaking in India to a school of 5,000 girls. And at the end of my presentation, these two girls came up to me and they were so excited. One wanted to be a doctor, the other one wanted to be a lawyer. And I said, well, that's great. Are you going to go to university here in India? Or maybe you'll go to the UK or to the United States? And they said, oh, we can't leave India. We're girls. I'm like, get back in that auditorium. I got them all back. And I said, now is your moment, ladies. Within the next 5 years, India is going to be the largest country on the planet in terms of population. I mean, it's a very young democracy. You're only 70 years old, and yet you've already elected a woman prime minister. The United States still has not elected a woman president. I mean, right now, there are twice as many women in India as there are people in the United States. There's actually more women in India with a graduate degree than there are people in the United States. And I told those girls, I'm like, you just made it my mission in life. The next CEO of a company, the next prime minister, the next really good parent is going to come out of this audience, because I'm going to make sure that you achieve all that you're capable of. And so this is something I'm very passionate about. And this is why I really, I get really excited about my reading engagement program, because right now there's some poor kid in Nigeria who might not have access to a lot of the materials a lot of kids may have. But if that kid has a laptop and an internet connection, I can make sure that kid has the same access as the president of Google. The world just got a whole lot smaller. And I, for one, am excited that you don't have to be born in New York City or Los Angeles anymore to make a difference in the world. And Nigeria is ground zero. There's gonna be huge changes. And I'm an optimist and believe there are gonna be positive changes.
Yeah, I do hope. Yes, I do want there to be changes in my country, especially in the reading part. And as for the writing, I would love. Honestly, I can say this is shame on my part, but I like keeping it real on the show. So I can say for the past two weeks, I have been contemplating writing something. A book, an ebook, a leaflet, something. And I have been doing that, and I am still doing that these 2 weeks and counting. How do I start? I think that's just laziness, capital letters, laziness. Like, how do I start? Where do I start from? There's a lot of what if I still want to get it right. I'm not a writer. I don't know how they start it. So there's that. Well, I think that's something you are going to help me with after the show.
I coach thousands of people, Mabel. I'll coach you on this. This is really important. So just so you know, it's called the bestseller list. It's not called the best written list. There's all kinds of best-selling books that aren't necessarily written very well. There's so many ways that I could encourage you to write. I mean, if you want to write a book right now, here's a cool thing. Is you don't have to go through a traditional publisher anymore. As a matter of fact, I don't really see the benefit of it. You can self-publish a book through Amazon or one of these other self-publishers. publishing services. It won't cost you any money to publish the book. They'll issue one edition at a time, and you can hire on there's all kinds of e-commerce sites like Fiverr.com and Elance and all kinds of sites that for maybe $100 you can get somebody from Bangladesh or from Serbia to help you design and format your book. I would encourage you, just as a starting point, go online, Mabel, and look for quotes that inspire you from people that have actually anybody that inspires you. But it's easier if they're passed away, because then you don't have to give them any kind of copyright. But just have a book of quotes that inspire you. Like, you can make a daily journal, like today the quote of the day is know thyself. Today the quote of the day, you know, take something from the Bible or from the Quran or something like that. That would be a basic way of doing it. Another way of doing it is to go through all of your past episodes of The Squash, Mabel, and just have them transcribed. There's all kinds of very affordable transcription services. As a matter of fact, they can do it for free on YouTube, but there's different transcription services. Get a book of transcriptions of all of the interviews that you've done, and just call it, 25 Movers and Shakers Around the World by Mabel Benita. You know, that would be a starting point. There's no reason that you can't write a book. And if nothing else, write a children's book. I think we underestimate the importance of children's books. If you look at some of the most important authors in history, it's people that have written to kids. And those kids grow up to be adults, and I've always thought that the lessons we learn from children's books, there's a very famous doctor here in America named Dr. Seuss. And Dr. Seuss is one of the best-selling authors of all time in the United States. He writes very basic books, Green Eggs and Ham, and The Cat in the Hat, and things like that. But when you reread his books as an adult, you realize, wow, he wrote The Lorax at least 50 years before people were really paying attention to the environment. There's all kinds of great environmental statements in that book. If you look at, I love the Harry Potter books, and I just think it's incredible literature. J.K. Rowling, she's done a great job of not just making Harry Potter a major character, but Hermione Granger is a major character as well. And so there's all kinds of messages being sent to little girls when they read this book, saying, well, wait a sec, just because I have a brain doesn't mean I have to be quiet. I can go past the boys if I have to. And that's what I want people, I love pushing people. I used to always tell my students, hey, sometimes you need somebody else to believe in you before you believe in yourself. I believe in all of you, because they only give me the best and the brightest. We're going to get you farther and higher than you've ever thought. So Mabel, I'll help you get that book done. There's no reason you can't get a book done.
Thank you so very much. I really appreciate it. Thank you. So another question is, why must we do that? What is the importance of reading? Is reading equivalent to success? You know, our parents will always say, read your books so you succeed in life, read your books so you can be somebody in life.
Yeah.
So people that don't go to school, people that don't read,
there's obviously successful people that don't read, but I don't know many highly successful people that aren't avid readers. It's really one of the characteristics that's common among anybody. And this is something that I always point out to students. The research is very clear on this. It doesn't matter what you read. What matters is how much you read. You know, it doesn't matter if you're reading James Joyce or James and the Giant Peach. People who read more read better. And that's how you make reading a lifelong habit. This is what I do for a living, is I make reading a habit. I'm an expert at habit formation. And the way you create a habit is you don't make it something that people don't like. You make human beings only do things that they like to do. One night my wife and I were finishing dinner, and my wife said, do you want some more green beans, honey? I said, oh, honey, I am stuffed. I couldn't eat another bite. And she said, we got chocolate cake for dessert. I said, just a small slice. You always find room for things that you like. And that's what I want. I know I'm doing my job when a bell rings and my kids don't hop out of their seats because they want to finish whatever it is that they're reading. That's what reading should be. And I can't tell you how many little boys I've worked with where there's no way I'm going to get this little boy to read this textbook. But if I give him a book about football, oh, he'll go through it in 10 minutes. you know what, and that's what the trick is the little boy who reads nothing but books about football is going to be a better reader than the little boy who's not reading anything. And as he reads those football books, then he's going to expand. Then it's my job is to give him other things. And the great thing about reading is it makes you naturally curious. And successful people, I think the reason they read is they're curious about opportunities around them, because there's opportunities around us all the time. You just got to be paying attention to them. And books are a great segue into looking for those opportunities.
So why does it have so much power on the mind? Like, okay, you open a book, I think a couple of days back or last week, I happened to reach that poor dad. And this was because a YouTuber that I so love, she mentioned it on her show, and I was like, oh, okay, this is a PDF file that I've had for 2-3 years. It has just been sitting on my phone. And I'm like, okay, let me see. But reading that opened my mind to so many things. Just starting it, and I read The Alchemist, like books like that. Why, what's the power behind it? What's in those pages that so captivates the mind, that pushes you to want to do things or try things, broadens your imagination? What is the power in those books?
Well, the great thing, Mabel, you're reading good things. You're reading positive things. I always tell people, you are what you read, so read good stuff. Robert Kiyosaki and Sharon Lecter wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which is going to help you examine better ways to create financial freedom. The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho, that's another book that's going to really expand your mind on things. And I've always told people, some of the best self-help books, I have one of the top book clubs online called lazyreaders.com, and it's a free subscription for anybody who subscribes. And every month I update it with 10 new book recommendations, 3 or 4 adult level, 3 or 4 young adult level, and 3 or 4 children's level books, all under 250 pages. So you have something you can read while you're stuck in an office. And there's all kinds of great books like Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. There's The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale. The Richest Man in Babylon by George Clausen. These are all books that are very short, under 200 pages. It'll only take you an hour. The amount of time it would take you to watch a football game, you could read one of these books, but it'll get you thinking differently. And that's what I always have thought good books should stimulate you to think differently. I'm always trying to look at things from different points of view. I'm like, huh. And if you look at it right now, this is what movies do all the time, is movies will take a story and they'll say, okay, the original story has all white American men. What if we film a version with all Asian women or with people with disabilities? I mean, think about that. Like, there's no reason not to. This is what I love about reading is, and that's why I always encourage kids to watch the movie version of a book. People are like, you're crazy. I'm like, no, I'm not. Because 9 times out of 10, when a person watches a movie, they're like, wow, the movie's good, but the book's a whole lot better. And the reason the book is better is because you picture everything in the book. And so you have your own vision. I mean, Think and Grow Rich can be written by an old white guy in America, but when you're reading it, Mabel, you're thinking of it from the point of view of a Nigerian woman. Why not you? Why not you? And that's the power of reading, is why not read Rich Dad, Poor Dad? Your version can be Rich Mom, Poor Mom. Matter of fact, that should be your book. That's a good title, Rich Mom, Poor Mom. You can do it from a female perspective. We got your book there.
Thank you so much. Thank you so very much. Read it. It's hard. Yes, it is hard to get children to read. For a year, I taught in a government school when I was doing my voluntary service. But in Nigeria, after you're done with school, with the university, you get to serve the country for a year. I was posted to a school. I had 300 students. It was hard. It is hard. And my mom is a teacher, and I do not know how she does it. I don't know how that woman does it. But to get a child to read, I have a younger sister, and she's like, can't you just read with this girl? I'm like, no, I cannot do that. I don't know how to do that, to make her read. I don't even like reading, so how can I make another person read? Well, it's crazy, but I think it's something we all need. We all need to learn how to read and also how to teach people, because especially as women, based on we're going to grow up to have our family and our kids, and we, you know, need to pass that, but it's really not easy. Actually, how do we simplify it? How do we make it easy? What's the shortcut?
So I've learned I can't make another human being do anything. I can only inspire them to motivate themselves. To me, true motivation has to come from within. And so the way you do that as a teacher or as a parent is you figure out, you have to get to know the person. What makes this person, what gets them to light up? I'll give you a couple of examples. So I used to volunteer at a juvenile detention facility for teenage girls, and they wouldn't read anything. And so, but I was paying attention. I talked to them every day, and they liked making fun of people. And I don't believe in making fun of people. I think that's negative. But I showed them in the back of Us magazine, there's this section called, I don't remember what it's called, but it's basically about 10 comedians, and there's photographs of different celebrities in their fancy outfits, and the comedians make fun of the outfits. And I started reading that with these girls, and they started reading that like crazy, laughing, and that's how we got them bonded together. When I taught middle school, I taught special education. It wasn't special education. It was 16 boys that nobody else wanted to teach. 8 African-American, 8 Latino, and if their life wasn't miserable enough, they get the white guy as the teacher. And one of the things that I was told was to teach these boys Macbeth by William Shakespeare. Well, there's no way that 15 and 16 year old boys have any interest in reading William Shakespeare. But I taught in South Central Los Angeles, and there's a great author from South Central Los Angeles called Walter Mosley. And he's written all kinds of books that are written about gangs in the inner city. And so we were reading Always Outnumbered, Always Outgunned. And then I can say, okay, you see these gangs? Basically in Shakespeare, these are gangs, and they speak their own way, just like these guys speak their own way. And the guy's like, oh, wow, yeah. They had their whole, and once they started to make those connections, that's when they were interested. And this is the problem I see in schools is you get 300 kids. There's no way you're gonna be able to make those personal connections with kids. And the personal connection is the most important thing. If I find out, you know, you already gave me a couple of clues, Mabel. I'm like, okay, she likes Rich Dad, Poor Dad. She just read The Alchemist. Okay, so I have to create a whole reading list of books for you. And that's what I'm trying to do. And the other thing is, I read aloud to my students. And a lot of my students, they might not read that much because they feel like they're bad at it. But reading aloud to a person is just as good as them reading on their own. So one of the tips I give to parents is turn on an audiobook. Let somebody else read the book to the kids. One of the best tips, I'll give a quick win to all the parents out there, is put on the closed captioning on television so the subtitles are at the bottom of the screen. And a lot of parents will say, well, wait a second. If the show is in English and the subtitles are in English, what good does that do? I'm like, well, that's a fair point, but let me make a point. How many of you've ever watched a TV show with subtitles and not read the subtitles? It's very difficult to do. Your brain is directed towards that text. There's actually research that supports this. If you look at reading scores around the world, the more kids watch TV, their reading scores always go down in every country except for one. The country with the highest reading scores in the world watches the most TV in the world. It's Finland. And the reason is, Finland makes really bad TV shows. So they import all these old American shows like the Addams Family and the Munsters and Brady Bunch, and they have to subtitle everything in Finnish. The kids are reading all the time. And so that's just a real quick win. So audiobooks and visual books, and I mean, I love, you know, in Nigerian culture, there's just a really great a cultural component to storytelling. And even if it's not written down, I love that Nigerians still tell stories. We've really lost that ability throughout the world. And I think that's so important for, you know, if I had 300 students every day, I would just tell them stories. I've learned that. Kids don't, they have no idea how to tell stories unless you tell them stories. So when I was teaching my six-year-old students, my first graders, one day I said, okay, kids, write about your lives. And they looked at me like I was from outer space. They're like, we're only six. Nothing's happened to us. I'm like, no. Things happen to you all the time. I'm like, when I was in first grade, I had a teacher. She smacked me on the hand one day. She called me stupid and she got me to cry in front of the class. And so the next day when I was walking to school, I had an apple and I peed on the apple. And when I got to school, I gave her the apple. She ate it and said it was one of the best apples she'd ever had. And my first grader's like, that is awesome. This is the reason I never accept food from children. But, you know, you got to get kids excited about it. And that's what, I mean, I get excited about this stuff, Mabel. And so the next time you have those 300 students, you can't teach 300 students. You got to teach one at a time. You got to figure out what makes this person click. You know, maybe they like fashion magazines. Maybe they like cookbooks. You know, I've got a lot of kids reading cookbooks. Maybe they like lyrics to music. You know, a lot of my students like hip hop. And so I give them the lyrics to hip hop songs and they would learn that. And they're like, what? And I'm like, that's reading. Poetry. Poetry is one of my favorite tools for reading because it doesn't have to be long. Too many people think reading has to be a 700 page book. Reading can be a children's picture book. And so expanding our definition of reading, but really getting people excited about reading, Mabel. I'm sorry, I always give long answers to your short questions.
It's fine. It is. I am learning a whole lot. Thank you so much. So last question, what is your best book? What's your best book?
My favorite, well, I mean, everybody's going to tell you the Bible. The Bible's a pretty good book because almost every story in history is a derivative of the Bible. Mm-hmm. It's kind of difficult to say my favorite book just because I think there's different types of books. I'll give you three. When I was a child, one of my favorite picture books was called Where the Wild Things Are by Maurice Sendak. And I enjoyed that book because it was about a mischievous boy. And at the time I was a mischievous boy. In middle school, one of my favorite books of all time is Around the World in 80 Days by Jules Verne.
I love the movie.
Yeah, I just love the idea of traveling. And I'm a huge traveler. I love seeing. And it's interesting because Jules Verne, when he wrote that book, he had never left France his entire life. And then, so there's a cool story about this reporter in New York City by the name of Nellie Bly. And she told her publisher, her newspaper publisher, Joseph Pulitzer, she's like, I'm gonna try and go around the world in 80 days. And he said, it can't be done, Nellie Bly. But he saw that there was a way to make a lot of money because people would read the paper. And so she attempted to go around the world in 80 days and she failed to make it around the world in 80 days. She made it in 72 days. And it's a really cool story. So that would be a book for teens. And then as an adult, I read all kinds of books for adults. I've always liked funny books, and probably one of my favorite funny authors was Douglas Adams. He wrote a great book series, but the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy was the first book to make me actually have to stop reading because I was laughing so hard. And it's a short book. So I like funny books. I think I always used to tell my kids, you have the rest of your lives to be miserable. This year we're laughing.
Yeah, that's true. Hitchhiker's book. Yes, I'm going to check that one out. Thank you so very much. This has been amazing. My mom would love you. She would.
I want to meet your mom. She did a good job. And so your mom and I, our job now is to push you to write that book. Think about that. You write that book that inspires that little girl in Nigeria, and then she becomes the prime minister of Nigeria one day. Mm. You had that impact. That's a lot of power.
Yeah, I think it's not going to be easy, but I will consciously try my best.
Nothing worth having is easy. It's not easy. That's why it's powerful. It's supposed to be hard.
Thank you so much, Doc. I learned a whole lot. Thank you so much.
Thanks for all you do. God bless you.
You too. Please, I will. I need your link, so you drop it for me. Yes.
The what?
Your link where we can get your books.
Freereadingtraining.com. Freereadingtraining.com, and everybody will get the book and two digital trainings and. hopefully all the kids in Nigeria, our program's supposed to be going into Nigeria soon. So we'll get those 300 kids excited about reading.
I hope so. Well, your 16 books, where can we find them?
Oh, you can find Amazon. Them on Amazon. My latest one is this one, Leadership Begins with Motivation. This is a bunch of short stories to inspire you. Some are inspirational, some will make you laugh, but it's Leadership Begins with Motivation. I think if you have Kindle Unlimited, I think it's free on Kindle Unlimited. Otherwise, it's pretty cheap on Kindle. But this is a fun book that you can read on the toilet.
Thank you so much. I will check it out and drop it for the audience to check it out as well. This has been amazing. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Mabel.